Hey, welcome back to another edition of the Soccer Specialist Podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about something that's really important to your game as you develop, as you move up, as you play higher levels of competition, as defenders become more experienced in what they do. And that is the simple art of deception, of fakes, of trickery. But in this case, I'm talking about a specific kind. Okay, so as I really kind of just alluded to, if you want to take your performance to another level, as you're going to need to do as you play better competition, you're going to need to learn to deceive your opponents in specific ways. Okay, great players are not predictable. They're able to deceive defenders with where they're taking their first touch. They trick defenders on which way they're going to turn when they do receive the ball. They're able to disguise which direction their next pass is going to go. You know, and a great way to do this is to get good passing with the outside of your foot, and we'll talk about that more a little bit later in the podcast, get into some more specifics on that topic. Look, they disguise when they shoot and where they shoot, which corner they're going to, are they going high or low? You know, and if you don't add this type of deception to your game, you're going to struggle as you get older, as you play better opponents. And this is true of the entire team as well. It's a player element. It's also a team element. It's a big problem with U.S. soccer. I think if you follow, say, the national team, and this was even talked about a lot with the women after their struggles with the World Cup. It's not just on the men's side. And that is that we're very predictable in how we play. We're very robotic. There's not enough creativity. There's not enough problem solving. They're not, you know, finding solutions. We teach at a young age playing out of the back, but we don't really get them any further than the basics of, I want this pass to go here, and then the next pass is going to go here, and the next pass is going to go here. And we confine you as a player to that, and we never even build up your foundational ability with the ball to deviate from that plan when you need to. You don't have the skills to dive into the creativity of it all, and we don't let you anyway. Moving on from that, for you as an individual player, now, where you, I think, first start to see this is within good defending. As defenders get better, they begin to understand the game more. They begin to anticipate what offensive players are going to do more. They read your body language as an offensive player. They read your eyes, even as an offensive player. You see this a lot with keepers, especially say on a penalty kick, because players taking it, a lot of times the last place they look is the side they're going to shoot to, and keepers start figuring that out. A great example with this experience with good defenders and this anticipation is, you know, you'll see players at younger ages, especially if they get, you know, kind of out wide, if they're fast, they take a big touch down the line past the defender, and they beat them to the ball. As defenders get older, get more experienced, get better, as soon as they see that ball go by them and they know it's a self-pass, a big dribble, they simply drop step, and they're now between the offensive player and the ball. And they can beat them to the ball. They have inside position. They can shield them off of the ball, and it's a turnover. And I would show this to my players a lot in small-sided games and scrimmages at practice, where I would play defense, or even when playing keeper, and I would exaggerate it a little bit, so I wasn't always right, but I was right more often than not, and it was so exaggerated that it made the point to them is that I would, you know, long before, when I say long before, you know, maybe like a second, if that, but in the speed of the game, it's long before, you know, I would step into the passing lane because I can tell to where they're going to pass the ball, because I can tell by their body language, by how they're setting themselves up, that where the next pass is going to go. As a keeper, I could do the same thing for which where they were going to shoot, even on a breakaway type situation. So I wouldn't have to make this outstanding save because I would just slide over to that corner and I'm there when they shoot the ball. And so this became a great way to show them and then teach them the understanding of what I meant about how you have to be deceptive, how you have to create situations where the defense doesn't know what's coming next. Okay. And this allowed them to understand how they were telegraphing things and showing me their intention long before they took the shot or made the pass. So good defenders as you get older, they're not just good physically, they're reading your intent as an offensive player and anticipating what you're going to need to do next. And you need to not only take this advantage away from them, but turn it in your favor. And you to do that, you don't need to become this 1v1 wizard. You don't need to be able to dribble past everyone. You do need to be able to have the ability to escape 1v1 and sometimes even 1v2 pressure. You need to be able to control the ball and be deceptive so you can buy time and you can create space and you can shake off an opponent to where you can make the next play. A good example with that is what I would do sometimes when I was playing, say, as a neutral player, especially when players were younger and helping them, and I would get a lateral pass to me if I'm, say, a little out wide, but it's a short pass, 10 or 15 yards, and I see that lead player on the other team who's now pressuring the ball, and they see that pass coming to me, and they're running at it, and I would quickly move laterally to the ball, and with my body language show that I'm going to take my first touch, I'm going to receive that pass, and instead, I would let the ball run by me and I would pivot and go right back to the direction where I came and get on the ball and take that touch away from that defender. And at the higher level, you'll see this sometimes with when a ball is played from a center back to an outside back and you have a striker or a forward who's pressing high and they're racing after that. And that outside back receiving the ball has to do something deceptive to freeze that defender for a split second so that they can make a play. They need to make it if they want to go out wide and play up to the midfielder or the winger, they need to make it look in some way that like they're going to take that touch back towards the center back, or they're even going to play one touch back towards the center back. But then take it in a way that takes them away from that pressing defender and out wide and up the pitch. Another great example offensively is, as I mentioned before, using the outside of the foot on a pass. A good example of this is say you're a center mid and you have a short angle pass forward to a winger or an outside mid or what have you, and you have the ball there to your left, let's say, and you so you have the ball with your left foot. If you open up to play with the inside of the left foot, you're telegraphing that defender in front of you. You're letting the defense know exactly where you're going with the ball. If you switch it to the right foot, which is a little more deceptive, but you're still now it's inside of the right foot to the out, to the left. You're showing the defense, here's what I'm going to do. If you're dribbling hard with that left foot at the defender, and you use the outside of your left foot to play that angle ball out wide to the left, it's quicker. The defense has no idea it's coming. You may have bought, the split second that you need to complete that pass to that winger out in the space. This is also very true, even more so in a if you're attacking, right? Maybe you've got a counterattack, you've got a 3-on-2, and you're dribbling down the middle with your left foot, speed drilling with your left foot. You've got player left, player right. If you're going to go to the left, your best bet in that situation is use the outside of the left foot to deceive that those defenders, to freeze them just a little bit, because it's in a much quicker pass. It's much more difficult for the defense to read, and they don't see it coming as quickly as you open up your body and play it with the inside of your left foot. And of course, if you have to switch it to your right foot and play with the inside of your right, that also takes more time and is a little easier to read. So, look, the deception, these types of things you can do even before you receive the ball, which will, you know, as I mentioned on some, whether it's before you're making a pass or what have you, it gets a lot easier when you as a player get really, really comfortable with the ball at your feet. Okay. So that's why I always go back to how comfortable you are with the ball at your feet. Now, obviously, that's not everything because you see a lot of people, you know, that I'm sure, especially now with social media, you see the freestylers all the time, and what they can do with the ball is amazing. Obviously, they have a comfort level with the ball at their feet, but they never then took that to add that to everything else in the game that you need to be a successful soccer player. Otherwise, they'd be playing soccer instead of freestyling. So, but it is the foundation, right? That comfort level is the foundation. One thing I wanted to mention, just because I love getting stuff like this and thought it was cool. I received an email from Manuel the other day who said, "My game has improved so much since starting the program. I even scored a goal this weekend. Thank you, Coach Greg." Congrats to Manuel on his improvement and his goal. That's fantastic. And I say congrats to him, not just for the improvement, but because while he may have taken a program from me that helped, he as the player had to actually do it, right? He had to get his ball and get out there and put in the time and the effort and the work to see improvement. You don't just get a program and now you're magically a better player. As a player, you always have to take control of your development and put in the time and effort and the work. So that's awesome. So congrats to him. That's fantastic stuff. I'm gonna leave it there for now. We'll talk more about great ways to improve your game on the next podcast. I want to thank you all for listening once again. I love it. Thank you so much for spreading the word, maybe leaving a rating on Spotify or Apple. It's more important than ever now with no Facebook group at all. I really appreciate, even to the next level, all of those of you in the supporters club that support the podcast and you know, the YouTube videos and just my content in general. Thank you so much. If you don't know what the supporters club is, it really, really helps out a lot. It costs you less than a cup of coffee. You can check it out at thesoccerspecialist.com/supporters. Hope everyone had a great week. Hope you have another great week of soccer coming up, and I will talk to you later.